Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 7. Proverbs, chapter 7. Praise the Lord Jesus. Proverbs chapter 7, we'll start on verse 6. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youth a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way of her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves, for the good man is not at home, he is gone a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart striketh through the liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your precious word. Lord, I pray that you speak to every heart this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would open up the ears, that they might hear, that you might open up their hearts, that they might understand. And I pray, dear Lord, most of all, that you would give me the freedom to speak, the ability to preach thy precious word. Lord, I pray that you would be glorified above all things, that you receive all the honor and glory. And we pray that your will would be done this morning. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You know, this story is a very plain story. It doesn't matter who read it, whether you're saved or whether you're lost or whether you've never read the Bible. Anybody can understand what it's talking about. But you know, the thing is that God is not going to spend 18 verses just to tell you and warn you about prostitutes. The Bible does speak about prostitute. It uses the word once. But most of the time when he's talking about a prostitute, he uses the word harlot. He uses the word whore. And it is something that God didn't like. He abhorred it. Not only that, but he tells you in the commandments that God gives that a harlot should be stoned. The Bible says that they pollute the land. But just like in all the rest of the scriptures, every time that God wanted to teach something, he wanted to teach somebody how they should not trust in themselves, he would give a story. He gave the story of the publican and the Pharisee. You want to talk about who is your neighbor? God would give you a story about what is a true neighbor. And here, beloved, we can look at this and we know that it's not just about a harlot. It is not just about a prostitute. We read here and we see very easily that this could be applied to several things or maybe many things. My mind is not too well as some others. You can probably think of so many ways. But very easily you could say that this woman is a type of false religion. Right. And it would apply very good. Because we see in the scriptures in the book of Revelation, there is a woman. She is called the mother of harlots. And it is a woman that is all throughout the whole world. It's a religion that is everywhere you turn around. This is what we see this lady. We don't see her just one place. We see her at every corner. So he tells me that it's more than just a woman. It is not just many women. It is a woman excuse me, that is everywhere. You can also apply it to maybe a false prophet. A false prophet is also lying to people, just like false religion is lying to people. You find them everywhere. You turn on the radio and that's what you listen. You wind up hearing people that want you to send money and they're going to heal you. We see that that they use they're very subtle. We also see that they use fair speech. We also see that they use flattering of the lip. And we also see most of all that when it's all said and done and at the end of your life, you wind up going to hell. Whether you've listened to a false religion or you've listened to a false prophet. And of course, this is exactly the type of what a harlot would do to you also. But you know, I'd like to look at it this morning from a bigger picture. Not so much to warn you of a prostitute or of a false doctrine or of a false religion. But I'd like to look at it this morning from a different point of view. I'd like to look at it as as you go through this life, because this is exactly what this young man does. He's void of understanding. He's new in this life. He's about to step out as a young man. And he is void of understanding. He doesn't understand too many things. And the first thing that he finds is that somebody's trying to deceive him. And that's exactly what you have to go in this life. As you go through this life and you walk through this earth, you find that somebody's always trying to deceive you, and you're going to have to make some decisions. The decisions you make, my friend, are going to affect you for all your life. Whether they be good decisions or bad decisions, you're going to have to live with them. And of course, when you read the whole context of where this story comes, you find out that that's exactly what God is talking about. The first five verses, God is saying, keep my word. He says, keep my commandments. Keep my laws. He said, this is the only thing that is going to give you wisdom and understanding. This is the only thing that is going to give you wisdom and understanding. This is the only thing that is going to keep you from the false woman. This is the only thing that will keep you from the false stranger. You need to know God's word. It's just a shame that some people get saved and they go through this life and they never even read the Bible once. Maybe it's because you were brought up with the Bible in your hand. You were brought to a church where they preached the Bible, and you thought that all you have to do is rely on your mom and dad. All you had to do is rely on the preacher. And you never really search the scriptures. I look at things a little bit different because I was brought up in a religion where they fooled me. I was fooled all my life. I was 36 years old till I finally, somebody began to witness to me and give me gospel tracts. I began to check the Bible and I found out I've been fooled. All this time I have been making wrong decisions. But you know, at the same time, my friend, this also applies to Christians. It's a shame that people get saved and they want to live for God and they don't read the Word. If you don't read God's Word, somebody's going to deceive you. There's always somebody out there with fine words, with flattering of the lips, and they're going to deceive you. And you're going to think, well, I thought everything was okay. But there's always somebody is going to try to deceive you. You need to always be careful. This is the only way. The Bible says it ends also at the end of this chapter. He says, many are wounded. He says, many strong men have been slain. And that's exactly what we see through the scriptures. I'll show you two people also that are examples of that. And it's really a picture of you and I. We get deceived all the time. If you don't stay on the Word, if you don't read God's Word, if you try to change it a little bit here, a little bit there, you're going to wind up making wrong decisions. Right. And so many Christians make wrong decisions. And the next thing you know, they're wounded somewhere and they don't come to church anymore. I have seen so many, but you know, I look at verse 8 and he says, passing through the street. And this is the way I look at this life. We're walking through this life. Maybe some of you are driving, or maybe you're just walking, or you're just traveling along and you think that everything is fine. But this is exactly what it is. You're walking through this life. But have you ever noticed how some people walk through intersections? It amazes me. Not too long ago, I see this so often, I told my wife, I was coming to a red light, and somebody, as I'm coming through the light, I haven't stopped yet, somebody jumps They know that it's about to turn green, or rather, for they can walk, and they jump on and never looked at me to see if I'm going to stop. And I say, man, how fool. They're trusting in me that I'm not drunk, that I'm not doped up, that I'm paying attention to my driving. They're trusting their life on my driving. This is why so many people get hit at intersections.
Right.
Even this morning, just coming to here, to church, I'm coming 30 miles an hour right here on Ingram, and there's a middle lane to turn, and there's a lady with her child, and she's right there by the line. I mean, just a few inches, and I'm coming 30 miles an hour. She's got the whole lane where she could have moved more, but she's trusting me. She's trusting the drivers that you're going to drive straight, that you're not going to vary off to one side. That's why people get killed. And you know, that's how many Christians make decisions. They don't pay attention. You know, all the accidents that I handled in my career as a policeman, I handled many at intersections. You know what was the number one excuse, or maybe 99% of the time, people would always say, I never saw him. I never saw him. That's why I taught all my children, including my wife, when you're going to go into an intersection, always look and look, and you proceed and you look and look. You do it 3 times. Even when I'm almost on the other side, I'm still looking. And as immediately I look in my rearview mirror to make sure that somebody didn't catch up to me so quickly. But you know, that's exactly what happened. People would tell me, but I looked and I never saw him. You know, sometimes you're looking and you really don't see nothing. Your mind is somewhere else. And that's exactly why the Lord says, if you have eyes to see, he that has ears to hear. Because we have ears, but we don't listen. We have eyes, and we don't look. And we have to really pay attention every time, beloved, when you go through the intersections of your life. When you're going down the street of your life, and you come to a cross, you come to a decision that you have to make in this life, don't you look both ways? You ought to look both ways. For a Christian, we are to look what's behind us and what's ahead. Where do I come from and where am I heading? Are you saved this morning? Are you headed to heaven? You know, the problem with so many people is that they really don't look. They don't care. They allow their whole life, their whole eternity, they're trusting in somebody else. That's why God says, you need to keep my word. You need to keep my commandments. You need to keep my law, that nobody will deceive you. I was talking to a lady this morning, or not this morning, but this week. And I work with the housing projects with the San Antonio Housing Authority, and I have to walk to go and show somebody an apartment. And I was telling this lady I had a half a mile to walk to get to the apartment. I told her, you know, I'm not allowed to go in my car, and I'm not allowed to take a ride. But I'll tell you how you can get there. That way you can wait for me when I get there. She says, no, that's okay. I'll walk with you. I said, all right. I witnessed to her all the way over there, and I witnessed to her all the way back. She was a Mormon. And you know, one of the things I told her after I discussed a lot of things with her, I told her, you know, that I had been deceived all my life until I was 36 years old. And I said, but you know, once I realized that I had been fooled, I didn't want to ever be fooled again. Everything that I believe, I need to read it. I need to research it. I need to check everything to make sure this is what God says, not what man says. I said, have you ever checked to see if what they have taught you, if that is really true? And she said, you know, I never have. That is the way this world is. It reminds me of an old man that was on his way to town. He told his wife, he says, I'm going to go see the doctor. I'll be back in a little while. And he takes off. And shortly after a while, the lady will listen to the radio. She hears something on the bulletin. He says, somebody is going the wrong way on the expressway. And she says, you know what? My husband is on that expressway. I better call him and warn him. So she calls him on the cell. Honey, be careful. There's a lunatic going the wrong way on the expressway, the same highway that you're traveling. She says, honey, there's not only one. There's hundreds of them. See, the thing is, The thing is that that's how most people look at things. They think everybody else is wrong. They think that they're the only ones that are right. The Bible says there is there's a way which seems right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. We never think we're wrong. But you know, I want you to go now to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. I'm going to show you a man that was just like you and I. A perfect picture. On chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, verse 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. You know, that's a sad commentary, that God would have to say, somebody that he appointed, somebody that he selected, that he would have to say, it grieves me that I appointed him. And you know, the thing is that that's exactly what Paul said of the Christians. He wrote to the Galatians, Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? You know, this happens to Christians all the time. We get saved, and then we start going our own little way. We start taking the Word of God, and we begin to change a little bit here. And we begin to try to make it fit to our own little doctrine, to our own little traditions of this life. But you know, the thing is that he had run well. Saul had been a good man. Saul had prophesied with the prophets. Saul, the Spirit of God had come upon Saul. Saul had done wonderful things. He had won some battles. Saul had rejoiced greatly with the men of God. Saul was a good king, or he started off as one. But little by little, beloved, at the crossroads of his life, when the decisions began to come his way and he had to make some decisions, like we all have to make decisions in this life, he began to change a little bit. He began to look at things a little bit different. And the first thing you see is when he was supposed to wait for Samuel, he didn't wait. Or rather, he did wait, but Samuel didn't show up, so he decided to take things into his own hands. He decided to step into the office of a priest. He decided to offer sacrifices unto God. And Samuel had to come and tell him, You have done foolishly. I wonder how many of us, when we go before the judgment seat of Christ, and if you're a Christian, that's where you'll be. If you're not a Christian, you won't show up at that at the judgment seat of Christ. You'll be at another judgment. It's called the White Throne Judgment. And the only thing you're going to be judged for is just to show you that your name is not written in the book of life. And then you'll be cast into outer darkness. You'll be cast into the lake of fire. But those of us that are Christians, and I believe most of us here are Christians, there's no doubt in my mind that there are some here that are not saved. But for those that are Christians, we will go before the judgment seat of Christ. I wonder how many times God will say, You did foolishly here. And you did foolishly here. You didn't pay attention to my word. You didn't listen to my commandments. You didn't keep my word. You didn't obey my laws. You did foolish again over here. I wonder how many times Saul is one that will be told, You did foolish here. You know, he intruded into the priesthood. He also was given another chance. You know, I'm so glad that we serve a God of the second chance. He's not only a God of the second chance, he's a God of the third, and of the fourth, and of the fifth. And I'm so glad that we serve a God that his mercy endures forever. Amen. And he's always ready to forgive. But many times we don't come to him, we decide we're going to do things our own. And this is exactly what happened to Saul. He was given another chance. I want you to look at with me on chapter 15, verse 3. On 1 Samuel, chapter 15, verse 3. And now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both men and women, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. You know, he was given a commandment to go and wipe everybody out. But you know, the thing is that Amalek, beloved, is the same thing as their flesh. You will always have battle with the flesh. We will always be having a fight with, forever we will have it until we die and go to heaven. And of course, when God tells you to crucify the flesh, that's exactly what it means. Don't leave nothing behind. You might think, well, I've already crucified my lust over here. I've already crucified my passions over here. I've already done away with this and that. But you leave something standing, it's going to smite you. It's going to knock you out. The Bible says many are wounded, and many great ones, many strong ones have been slain. There's always somebody trying to fool you. You know, I've always warned people, and people have called me many times when I was in the police force, and they would ask me, sir, so-and-so is asking if we can donate to this organization or to that. And I would always tell, don't give to nobody. There's too many scams out there. Don't trust nobody. Right. But you know, just the other day, this past week rather, somebody called at where I'm working now, and they called right at noontime. I was the only one in the office. And they said, who's the one that orders supplies? I said, well, she's not here. He says, okay, because your company just ordered toner for the printer. And it so happened that we were out of toner. And I said, okay, yeah, I think we are out of toner. He says, okay, we're about to deliver it, but they need to have a name of the person that they deliver it to, that's the person that ordered it. What is your name? Can you just give your name that you ordered so that it can be delivered? Okay, my name is Trinidad Noyola. He says, okay, when they come to you, just say that you're the one that ordered it. I said, okay, no big deal. And shortly after, the people that are supposed to deliver, they call me. He says, so you're the one that orders supplies? And my manager so happened that was sitting in my office. And I said, no, I don't. But I tell you what, the manager is here, talk to her. And I passed the phone. Turns out that it was a scam. She had never ordered anything. And she hung up the phone real quickly. She said, Trini, that was a scam. He said, that's happened before. They got somebody to give their name. They wind up having to pay $500. I was already thinking, man, I have to kill somebody. But the thing is, there's somebody at every corner trying to fool you. You can't trust nobody. But you know what? One thing that I find when people get fooled or when they make wrong decisions, we don't want to admit it. And that's why I say Saul is such a perfect example of you and I, because we don't like to admit we're wrong. I want you to turn with me, or I'm turning on my Bible, I don't know about yours, but I just want you to go to verse 19, chapter 15, verse 19. I want you to see how Saul is going to respond. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. He's lying. But he doesn't want to admit it. This morning I come to church, and the first thing that Brian asked me, he said, brother, who's supposed to open up this morning? I said, I don't know. He said, well, you were. I said, oh man, who opened last month? He said, well, I don't know, but are you going to blame somebody else? And I said, yeah, I'm going to blame somebody. And of course, I came in and looked and I saw. But the thing is, you know what I should have said? It's my fault. I didn't look. I trusted in somebody else telling me. I trusted in somebody else giving me a warning, but you can't trust nobody. The thing is that I didn't want to admit that it's my fault, just like Saul don't want to admit it's his fault, and you never want to admit it's your fault. That's why it's so hard when we go witnessing door to door or we preach on the streets. Nobody thinks they're at fault. Everybody thinks it's just like the other driver. Everybody's going the wrong way. But you're the one that's going the wrong way many times, and we don't want to admit it. Amen. And I'm just one of them. But you know, the thing is that the Bible says that if you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, He will lift you up. And that is one thing that we never like to do. But you know what happens when you begin to stray away from the Lord and you begin to use your own imagination and you stray away from God's Word? You don't really pay attention to what He says. And that's why the whole theme of this message is you need to pay attention. You need to keep God's Word. You need to keep His commandments. You need to keep His law. This is the only thing that is going to give you wisdom and understanding. But you see, Saul began to do the opposite. The next thing you know, he's getting disoriented. He wanted to kill his son. He wind up inquiring of a witch. And eventually committed a coward's death. He committed suicide. I call it a coward's death. He could have very easily just fought to the end and at least would have gone down as a brave and valiant soldier for the Lord. But instead he committed suicide. But you know the thing is, I've known so many Christians. They've come out of this church sometimes. I've known them at other churches. There used to be a policeman friend of mine that was such a strong witness. And when I had just gotten saved, he got saved also about the same time I did. And he was witnessing everywhere. We'd go to a coffee shop together while we were working, and he would witness to the waiters. He would witness to people coming in and sitting next to us. Eventually, one day, he wind up witnessing to a Jew, and the Jew went and complained to the chief, and here we are, we're all in front of the chief, answering the complaints. But he was a good, strong witness. I went door to door with him. He had a good, strong voice. But there were some things that came across his life, some decisions he had to make, and he wind up making the wrong one. He wind up, he wanted to be a missionary when he retired. His wife said, no, we're not going nowhere. He began to listen to his wife, and the next thing you know, he begins to make wrong decision after wrong decision. Then he wind up retiring and getting a job with the police department again. He would take his Bible and he would witness to people there at the front desk. The next thing you know, he's coming after duty just to come and argue with people, not about the gospel, about other things. And then just tragedy after tragedy after tragedy, but I could see his life from way back making the wrong decisions. And this is exactly what happened to Paul. He began, or rather to Saul, he began to make wrong decision after wrong decision, until to the point of becoming even neurotic, to the point of even talking to a witch doctor, to the point of even dying the death of a coward. But you know, the Bible tells us very plainly, beloved. It says in Deuteronomy 17:20, he says, and that he turned not aside from the commandment to the right or to the left. You know, when God gives commandments, he doesn't say if you feel like it or you can change it. He says, don't change my word. Don't change my commandments. If he says this is what you need to do, that's exactly what you need to do. That's why he gave us his word. His word's already been tested in the fire. His word is true. Jesus Christ says, I am the truth. I am the way and I am the life. But you know, the thing is that we all make wrong decisions one way or another. Somewhere down the line, we all make wrong decisions. But you know, that's why I'm so glad that God is the God of the second chance. He also says he will restore the years the locust has eaten. Even though you might have made a bad decision at one time in your life, even though it had ruined you for many years, God can still restore you. God can still bring all those years back and give you everything that the locust has eaten. All you have to do is call upon him. But you see, the thing is, what I'm preaching about is that many have been wounded. Many strong have been slain. Good, strong preachers. People that were strong, some that were weak. And many that used to come here are not here anymore. But I want you to go to another one. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to show you another man that had similar problems. Made wrong decisions in life. 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting on verse 10. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. What did Demas have that you don't have? You know, Demas used to hang around with spiritual brothers. He used to hang around with Luke. He used to hang around with Mark. That's what he says in Philemon 24. He used to hang around with Paul. You also have spiritual brothers here. We have a whole bunch. A lot of good, strong, spiritual brothers. And yet, it seems like people still wind up forsaking the assembly and going out because they love this world.
That's right. Amen.
Demas had a good mentor. He had Paul. He used to hang around with Paul. I've got a good mentor. I've got Brother Kincaid. I love him as my father. I look up to him. We have a lot of good mentors in this church. Demas had a good message. He had the gospel. Yet, even though he had the gospel, he loved this world more than the things of God. You know, one of the things he did wrong, he made the wrong turn. Who bewitched him? He did run well, but will this also be said of you? Oh, he did run well. Will you also go away? You know, in my 20 years as a policeman, 13 policemen were killed. It was in the 1970s when they were killing about one every year. And it got to the point where I would think, who will be next? I knew every one of them. At least half of them, I used to have coffee with them and made calls with them. I knew them on a personal basis. And I used to think, who's going to be next? I never asked, I know that's the last one. I never said, this is not going to happen again. Who will be next? We're in a warfare. We're in a spiritual warfare where there's a war, there's going to be casualties. As long as we're in Iraq, we're going to have casualties. That's just part of war. And that's just part of this spiritual war that we're in. We're going to have casualties. That's why it's so important, beloved, that you stick to the word. That you obey what God says you to do. This is the only thing that will give you wisdom. This is the only thing that will keep you from the strange woman. This is the only thing that will keep you from the stranger. It's a warfare. But you know, life is full of choices. God wants you to choose. He tells you you need to choose. But He wants you to choose life. He wants you to choose blessings. He wants you to set your affections on things that are high, on things that are in heaven, not on things on this earth. Demas chose the wrong thing. When he came to the crossroads of his life, when he came to the decision making, when he came to the stop sign, he chose wrong. Like many other Christians, they go around the barricades. God has already put barricades, don't cross here, and people still do it. They do it in the real world and they do it in the spiritual world. God has already given you, don't do it. Don't do this, don't do that. He's given you the commandments that covers everything. But yet people still go around. And then later on it affects your whole life. Demas had the wrong affection. He had the affection of this world. He had the wrong love. He loved this world more than the people of God. At a time when he was needed, at a time when Paul wanted him to stand by him, he departed. He left them alone. He had no love for the people of God. This is the only way that people will know that whether you are if people see that you love the children of God, is one of the tests. That shows that you are a Christian. When you love the children of God. This man had turned cold. He made the wrong decisions. But you know, one thing that I see is I'm just glad that there's not too many Demas in the Bible. I'm glad that when I see people like Moses. The Bible says that he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than the joy of pleasures of sin for a season. I'm glad that I can read a whole chapter of Christian after Christian after Christian who was not like Demas, who went through this world and confessed gladly that they were not of this world. They were looking for another country. They were looking for another city that's not on this world, but that is a heavenly. I'm glad that we have people like that. I'm glad that we have people like Peter, that when the Lord told him, "Come, Peter," and he stepped out of the boat into the water, something that had never been done before. But you know, this is what you have to do when in the things of God. Many times you're having to take a big step. You have to take steps of faith. You don't know what's going to happen, but if God said it, let me tell you, it'll come to pass. If He says come, you need to come. If you would just do like Peter and just step out like faith, you will also be like him. But you know, what about you this morning? Are you safe this morning? Are you still trusting in your good works? Maybe you're here and you're trusting in your religion. Maybe you're here and you think that as long as you're good. I had been fooled like that since I was a little child. I had been told if I was good, I'd go to heaven. If I was bad, I'd go to hell. Nobody ever told me how good I had to be. Not until I read the scriptures and I learned that I had to be perfect. Then I realized nobody's perfect. Then I have learned that you had to be sinless, and I realized we're all sinners and come short of the glory of God. Then I realized that only Jesus could save me. That only He could cleanse me of all my sins. That it was the blood of Jesus Christ who cleansed me of all my sins. And I had to repent and put my faith and trust in Him. You know, the Bible says, If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? If thou, Lord, wouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? Nobody. If He would check your, if you think that you can be in a balance, and that's what so many people in this world think, they think that God will put you in a balance just because they see that woman of justice with the balances, and people feel that, well, the good works and the bad works, let's see which one weighs the most. It's not like that. That woman has fooled you. Just like the woman that's at every corner. You have not gotten any wisdom. The Bible says if the Lord would mark iniquity, nobody would stand. If He would look at you, you'd need to go to hell a million times over. But you know what I also see in the scriptures? It says, "For thou, Lord, are good and ready to forgive." It says on Psalm 86:5, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." You know, that's the whole message of the Bible. Throughout the scriptures, we find the goodness of God. From the beginning to the end, all the way to the end, He's still saying, "Hey, come. Come to the waters. You that thirst, come to the waters." Throughout the Bible, He's telling you, "I'll forgive your sins. If you would just call upon me, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord," the Bible says, "shall be saved." It's not might. It's not maybe so. Maybe someday. You need to not be fooled. You need to not let that woman fool you. The Bible is very plain, beloved. If you would just read the Word, if you would pay attention to the Word, any child can understand it. Even my 9-year-old grandson can witness to people out of the Bible. Even he is ready to preach, and he wants to preach in the streets already. Any child can understand it. God made it so simple that the humble can understand. But the proud will never see. They will never hear. But I pray that this morning, if you're here and you're still trusting in something else other than Jesus, if you've got anything in your mind that you think I'm worth a little bit, some people think maybe just a little bit, that I can just contribute a little bit. That's just like saying, "God, I know you're good, and I know that you died on the cross and you paid for all the sins, but I need to put my part." That's like stepping on the blood of Jesus. Let me tell you, The Lord is good. He's the only one that does good. And He's ready to forgive on all them that call upon Thee. Even this morning, if you're here this morning, I pray that you would just, right where you're sitting, nobody's going to be talking to you or telling you anything. It's just between you and the Lord. Salvation is between you, Lord, between you and the Lord. It's not between you and any church. It's not between you or any priest. It's not between you or any preacher. It's just between you and the Lord. You're the one that have offended the Lord. You're the one that needs forgiveness. And all you need to do is say, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. I call upon you, Lord, that you come into my heart, that you save my soul. I want to put all my faith and trust in Thee. Forgive me that I have offended you. If you would do that this morning with all your heart, if you would do it with all sincerity, if you would do it with just a broken heart and a contrite spirit, God will surely save you this morning. We're going to stand and we're going to open up the altar and we're going to sing 243. 243.